This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, and a special edition, a second episode this week, as we already had Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox Sports on. And today, I'm going to welcome in Matt Grill, trading manager for DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings right now, the only market out there with all of the week zero and week one lines. They have all 136 win totals out there. And I've already recorded the interview, and you're really going to enjoy it. It is about 50 minutes, and really love chopping it up with Matt Grill. I'm recording this on Wednesday night, and I know it has nothing to do with college football, but holy shit, what we saw at Madison Square Garden, that's why sports are the best. And to see that comeback from the Indiana Pacers and the big shots made by Nesmith and then Halliburton, and it made me think a little bit, because I saw Bobby Marks tweet out that with 2:51 to go, it was 119-105. There was a 99.7 win probability. The Pacers, down by 9 with 58 seconds to go, they have now come back three times this postseason when trailing by at least 7 points in the fourth quarter with less than a minute to go. And they've all come against, what, three different opponents? Since 1997-98, teams are 4-1,640 when trailing by 7 points in the final minute of the fourth quarter slash overtime in the playoffs. The Pacers have three of those wins, and they've all come this postseason. Milwaukee in the first round, Cleveland second round, and tonight against the Knicks. But it got me thinking about college football and some of the remarkable comebacks we've seen. And I think back to Labor Day weekend 8 years ago. UCLA, Texas A&M. Texas A&M led 44-10 with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. They had a 99.8% win probability, and Josh Rosen led UCLA all the way back in that game. Remember that? 491 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Yeah, that was the game that came to mind when I think back of crazy comebacks. And it happened on Labor Day weekend. Maybe we'll get something bonkers on Labor Day weekend. And speaking of which, we're going to get to all of the Labor Day weekend games with Matt Grill here coming up in just a little bit. But one thing I did want to circle back to, I opened up last podcast about Carson Beck and how I think he might be getting a little bit undervalued heading into this year. And the fact that he's 25-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Last year, he was 9-1 at this time. However, obvious, Georgia was the betting favorite to win the title a year ago this time. Miami certainly is not. But David Hale of ESPN ranked all of his quarterback rooms on ESPN.com this week. And I thought one stat that jumped out to me that I thought was pretty interesting is he did some kind of some blind resumes. So he did this blind resume on ESPN.com. Quarterback A, this is last year's stats. Quarterback A, 82.3 QBR, 28 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions, 64.7% completion percentage, 7.78 yards per attempt. That's QBA. QBB, slightly worse QBR, 79.1. One more touchdown pass, 29. Same amount of interceptions, 12. 64.2% completion percentage, which is almost identical to QBA, and 7.72 yards per attempt. Almost dead even numbers. And as David Hale points out, so who's the hot shot and who's spiraling downward? QBB was LSU's Garrett Nussmeier, who's a favorite in the way too early mock drafts. This, once again, from David Hale. QBA, Carson Beck. And as David Hale points out, was supposed to be a possible number one pick in 2024 before that performance drew criticism. Kind of interesting to think back to that. And then he also went into this. He said, okay, one more. QBA, 72% completion percentage, 28 touchdowns, 6 picks, 9.5 yards per pass, 3,941 yards of total offense. QBB, 71% completions, 32 touchdowns, 10 picks, 8.4 yards per pass, 3,784 yards of total offense. As David Hale says, pretty darn close, right? Well, QBA is Beck's 2023 season at Georgia when he was lauded as one of the nation's best. QBB is Beck's 2024 season at Georgia if you adjust his stat line to the same rate of drops and contested catches by his receiving core in 2024 than he had in 2023. Kind of fascinating stuff there. And I talked about this with Matt Newman's on Tuesday night on VSiN Primetime, where, look, is it the skeptic in me that I'm a bit nervous about week one for Miami? And we're going to talk about this game, obviously, with Matt Grill of DraftKings here in just a moment. Yeah, but it does feel like Carson Beck, who is going to a situation that led to a guy going projected fifth round in Cam Ward to the first overall pick, is getting a little bit undervalued. So we'll see how it all plays out, but I think you'll enjoy what Matt Grill has to say about Miami and Notre Dame and all of week zero and week one, futures as well. Matt Grill was phenomenal and really appreciate him giving us the time that he did here this evening. So without further ado, here you go. And as promised, Matt Grill joins us right now, trading manager for DraftKings Sportsbook. And I'm excited to have this conversation. Matt joins us every week on VSiN Primetime, but we're limited to, you know, about 10, 11 minutes. And here we're going to expand it out. DraftKings is the only book right now in the world that has all of the week zero and week one lines up. So, Matt, before we dive into the games and movement we've seen and maybe a little win totals, I think people listening in, and I'm always interested in it too, kind of like the, you know, how the sausage is made, so to speak. So when you're putting together these numbers, what's the process for you guys at DraftKings Sportsbook to put together week zero, week one lines and be first to market?
Yeah. Hey, Tim, thanks for having me on. Glad to be here. Love to talk some college football here in late May, and things are starting to heat up a little bit. And, you know, we've been putting out some new markets here the last couple of weeks and are going to continue to do so about every week here during the summer with a lot of fun stuff for people to bet on. The college football offseason is one of the most fun and intriguing, I think, of all the sports. And that's why I love doing what I do and what we do to bring that content to our customers. And just a little background. So I've been doing this for about 20 plus years, making power ratings on games, betting games. I started off as a bettor, like lots of people in the industry, and have been in the industry working here for about 13, 14 years now. So I've kind of brought my process to the other side of the counter, which is just really rewarding, really fun to make these numbers and put out, week one game lines, some regular season wins. And it's a lot tougher process now just because with the transfer portal, just the amount of information that you have to absorb out there to get good information on the teams and make a good power rating is a lot tougher now. So it used to be that you could just kind of start with your season ending power rating from the year prior, roll that over. It used to be just look at returning starters, but now with guys like Bill Connolly out there doing great work with returning production, can incorporate that now, coordinator changes, coaching changes. And of course, now the hardest part, we've got the transfer portal where you're starting over so much with these teams and what they are. So just trying to quantify that is so much more difficult. So yeah, we're guessing at a lot of this stuff out there. We're doing our best with kind of taking that year-end number. And of course, you just have to throw out the bowl games now because a lot of the players aren't playing. So that performance is thrown out. So you start with last year's rating, do your best to just kind of absorb all the transfer information, returning starters, returning production, who's gone where, the quarterback competitions, the coaching carousel, and you kind of just arbitrarily come up with a new number, whether you're adjusting the team maybe 3 points, 7 points or more, or just keeping them the same. And our team, we've got about five or six guys who concentrate on the college sport. So I've kind of taught them the process I've used throughout the year doing this. And everyone will go out and kind of absorb all this information, do their own research. And we come back and we all get together and talk and put together our new number for teams, talk through every single team. So this is a process that takes weeks. It's hours and hours and hours. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. And then we get what we feel is a pretty good number for each team, a power rating. We're then able to take that, of course, and then pretty easily make some week zero, week one, or some game of the year lines. And then also what you can do is you can take that number, and really the difference between the two numbers is the point spread. So we're then taking this, sticking it into a schedule so that we'll produce a hypothetical point spread for every game. You can then translate that into a win percentage. And then you add all those win percentages up, whether it be like 0.73, 0.57, 0.9, add those up and you have pretty much a win total for a team. And that used to be kind of just straightforward how you used to do, but now with things getting a little bit more sophisticated, we're taking that and we're running things through a simulation model. So we'll take those numbers, we'll add a standard deviation to each team's rating. So let's say we rate a team an 80, which is kind of a pretty good team, like a top 25 team. Might have sounded like a standard deviation of 6, where that team on average is gonna play within 6 points of that rating on any given game. So you're simulating each game in the season where it's going to assign just a random standard deviation rating to that team, run it through, and it spits out another number. So you're just kind of comparing that straight line number to a simulated number, and then you end up converting that. So let's say it comes out to like 7.75 wins for a team. You're converting that over to an American odds, and then you can put up, let's say, like a 7.5 over 135, over under plus 115, and voila, there's a number. We stick it out. Start taking some bets, and we can kind of see where we're off in some teams. We get some good information early, and we can start moving those numbers around. Of course, there's other factors like the market. So, you know, what other numbers are out there? You know, you have to look at that. You have to look at what other numbers people are putting out, what arbitrage situations. So we're happy right now to have an opinion and have some differences out there in the market with our regular season wins like we do. If you look out there, we're a lot different than some other books. But I think our process is so thorough and good. We're really confident in our number. And then we can use that information to build that into our conference futures, our outright futures, our odds to make the playoffs. So we can do a lot of that once we have an established baseline of these teams and what they are and a good solid number of them. And then it just really becomes easy after that. So really, a lot of our hard work and the hard part of this is done now. Now we can start releasing a bunch of markets that the betting customers can enjoy.
136 win totals up. So every FBS team is up right now at DraftKings, and you can bet on all of them. All the week zero, all the week one lines are out, and a special game of the year. You've got Ohio State and Michigan right now out. So, yeah, let's dive into it, Matt. There's a lot to get to, and I think this is fascinating to kind of hear how it all plays out for you guys. Before we dive into the games, we've talked about it for the past couple of weeks, how this year is so fascinating in this regard. You look at Ohio State, you look at Texas, you look at Notre Dame, teams that are believed to be some of the highest power rated teams in college football. And I would imagine that, you know, equates out. They have a lot of questions at the quarterback position. So when you put together your power rating for Ohio State, and it looks like it's Julian Saiyan, we don't really know what we're going to expect from him. Arch Manning for Texas, Gunnar Stockton for Georgia, Dante Moore for Oregon, Ty Simpson for Alabama, CJ Carr for Notre Dame. When you look at these teams, and if you want to go a little bit further, Michigan with, you know, either it's Mikey Keene or Bryce Underwood, how did you guys try to figure out a power rating for those particular teams, knowing the quarterback hasn't really done anything in college football yet?
Yeah, great question, Tim. And that's just another big part of the process. So right now we've got a chart that basically has the three deep for the QB position for every team right now. And we don't necessarily rate them out by player, but we've got a pretty good idea of, you know, who's good, who's not, who's got upside, who doesn't, who's injury prone, who's not. And again, you're just kind of doing your best to arbitrarily assign, okay, maybe this team has an 80% chance where this is the guy's going to be the starter, and a 20% chance for the backup. maybe this team 50-50, other teams, you know, it's going to be 100% this guy or that guy. So again, you just do your best to say, all right, with this most likely candidate at quarterback playing the entire season, here's how we'd rate the team. Other times you have to have a little bit of a blended number, you know, depending on how much that different QB is going to change the rating for that team. So that's all factored in when we're doing this, making our PRs for the teams.
All right, let's get into it. You've got every game for week zero and week one up, so they're going to run through as many as possible. Let's go to Ireland, Kansas State, and Iowa State. A Big 12 showdown. I'm sure plenty of Iowa State fans. I was actually talking to one the other day over at Circa. We just bumped into each other and talked about, you know, how many fans are going to be headed over to Aviva Stadium. So right now, you guys have a total out on this one at 49.5. Kansas State minus 3.5. And, you know, Kansas State's kind of interesting to me because I feel like Avery Johnson, Matt, had a lot of buzz last year, and some of that subsided. And you know, similarly, you could say something about Rocco Beck. So these two teams do have returning quarterbacks. How did you come to 3.5 for this game over in Ireland? And have you seen any action on Iowa State, Kansas State?
Yeah, Tim. So this is a game we've had up since January just because it was the best week zero game. And you're right, they're heading over to play Farmageddon in Ireland, which is a bit odd, but it is what
it is.
It's
green over there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is one we opened up back in January, I believe, at Kansas State 2.5. And it's not so much that we took money on Kansas State. It's just that after we looked at the teams a little bit more over the last couple of months, we do think Kansas State is the best team in the Big 12, albeit by a razor margin. But, you know, that conference could go any of like six or seven ways of a team win it that wouldn't really surprise anyone too much, but I think they're the most sturdy team. Iowa State, they lost some great receivers to the draft. That's going to hurt them. You know, of course, Matt Campbell as an underdog, everyone knows that angle. Just, you know, or maybe if the people are a bit down on the team, he usually does well. So that is the scary part. But I think Kansas State is definitely the better team here. So we've since moved it the last couple months to 3.5 now, Kansas State favorite. But really pretty good two-way action on that game.
All right, a couple other week zero games. The game that I am intrigued at, and I yelled at you very tongue-in-cheek, was Stanford-Hawaii. I was talking about this last week on the show, and I might have cursed your name on the pod, saying, come on, you couldn't give us a 3.5 for Timmy Chang's squad. But Stanford is a disaster right now. So, you know, when you look at a team like Stanford, and right now you guys have them as a 2.5-point favorite at Hawaii week zero, how do you come to a rating on them? Because it's been a ridiculously tumultuous offseason. They lost their starting quarterback. They lost their most talented player in David Bailey. They lost their top receiver in Io Manor. He goes to the NFL. Their second leading receiver transfers to Texas. They fire Troy Taylor. I mean, it's been a nightmare, right? But, you know, they're playing Hawaii, who's got some questions too. So how did you come to this number and anything you've seen on Stanford Hawaii?
Yeah, great points, Tim. And, you know, Stanford, they are a mess. I think we've got them rated as the worst power conference team out of all the teams. And I think it might even be by two or three points, maybe Northwestern and Oregon State, Washington State. They're just a bit above them. So, yeah, Stanford is in shambles. And we actually like Hawaii. We give them a pretty good rating. But with the way it rates out, this is one where we just pretty much had a straight power line number of it was right on three. We honestly talked about this game saying we like the upside of Hawaii, could maybe see them closing a favorite here. There's a lot of unknowns with Stanford just because you're kind of guessing on them. You are. Just that's the fact of the matter. So we didn't want to give away that full three. So here we are sitting at 2.5 to make people like you mad.
Yeah. That's not very nice of you guys. All right. The other two games, week zero, Sam Houston at Western Kentucky and Fresno State at Kansas. Anything notable about these two games, August 23rd?
Yeah, Western Kentucky is one of the few that we've released of the newer games that we have moved. We'd open up 7. And you know, wanted to honestly know what it was? I was just looking at it a couple of days after we opened it, and I didn't like 7, so I went to 7.5. My numbers made it more like 9. The rest of my team, we kind of averaged out 7, and I just kind of sat there looking and said, I don't like this. I went to 7.5. That was it, and that's what happens sometimes. Sam Houston lost their coach, Casey Keeler, over to Temple. Lost a lot of their good defense from last year. They've had a really good defense the last couple of years. So, again, a team with a lot of unknowns. Western Kentucky, though, they've been pretty solid in CUSA the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, and they've got a ton of question marks. They've lost a lot. So we did downgrade the rating on both teams quite a bit, and this is where we ended up at this a touchdown and a hook right now. As far as the Kansas – or go ahead, Tim.
No, I was going to say, yeah, Fresno State and Kansas. You know, Fresno State's a team that, you know, we bettors love to bet all the time, but – a lot of questions about this program now moving forward. And KU, Lance Leipold's got it rolling there. You bring back Jalen Daniels. So, yeah, curious about this one at 14.5.
Yeah, Kansas, you know, they were kind of snake bit in the first half of last year. And then they rebounded, have a good second half of the year. You know, they were the first one to knock off BYU. Is a really kind of, I think for the betting public, a really mystifying line that was 2.5 that game. And I think a lot of people couldn't understand it, but you know, Kansas walked away with the victory that game and had some other close games the rest of the year. But we were a little bit down in Kansas. We kind of thought in relation to where the market's going to have them. Fresno, again, losing quite a bit. And again, a little bit of a guess on their rating, but we did downgrade them as well. And again, it's kind of ended up with this 14. And we just threw the hook in there for 14.5, knowing the betting public was probably going to like Kansas after what they saw last year. So we're going to make them lay the 2 touchdowns on the hook on this one.
All right, let's go to week one. We just passed the 100-day mark, and depending on when you're listening to this, probably on Thursday the 22nd, you know, we are 98 days away from the start of week one. There's some interesting ones on that Thursday, and we've seen a little bit of movement, and you had mentioned on VSiN Primetime when you joined us earlier this week that you've seen a bunch of bets come in on East Carolina. So we've got ECU at NC State, and you guys have moved off to 14 at 13.5 here. So what's been your process here with ECU, a team with a new head coach, but it was the interim. They removed the interim tag. ECU maybe in a little bit of rebuild, but I guess getting some early love here.
Yeah, definitely. This is the game that's taken probably surprisingly the most action of the games we put up last Friday. These new games. So I had a closer look. It's about 80% of the bets we've taken this are from people in North Carolina. So they like their home state Pirates and not the NC State Wolfpack. So they've been taking the full 14 we had. So we pretty quickly moved this to 13.5. But yeah, this game's probably taken about 100 bets or so far. And I'd say no more than 5 were on NC State. So East Carolina's pretty popular here. And we liked them. We liked what we saw with this team, so I thought we rated them pretty well, but maybe not enough, as you know, the early bets have been telling us on the Pirates.
All right, let's get to a game that is pretty fascinating, and I was curious what number you guys would put up. Right now, Boise State traveling to Tampa is a 10-point spread. This is going to be the first game of ESPN's doubleheader on that Thursday, I think a 5 o'clock Eastern kick time. And you know, I was contemplating who was the best G5 quarterback coming into the year. Ultimately, I think it's Blake Horvath of Navy, but I think you can make an argument for these two guys that are playing in this game, Maddox Mattson and for Boise, and then Byron Brown for South Florida. What has the action been like on this? Obviously, Boise State, I was looking at the win totals, Matt. They are your only G5 team at 9.5 wins. Everyone else is 8.5 or lower. They went to the playoff last year, but you lose Ashton Gentry and you lose, you know, a couple pieces on the defense. So what was the number here? What have we seen on Boise State, South Florida?
Yeah, open Boise State 10 on the road here. Maybe a little bit of a tricky spot. They did have to go to Georgia Southern last year, laying a similar number.
Yep.
I think won by 11 after Ashton Gentry ran for 1 million yards. So, but without him, you know, they still got a lot of pieces. They still got some talent there. They're still the best G5 team, I think, pretty easily until proven otherwise. I think we've got them the best G5 team by at least 5 points. And an interesting note, Maddox Mattson did not play a lot in the spring. So don't know if he's maybe just they're keeping him from being injured or if he has an issue going on. I still expect him to be the starter here week one. But a kind of a weird game, them traveling down to Tampa. You know, no real home field for South Florida. But South Florida, they're a real Jekyll and Hyde team, it seems like, the last 5 or so years. Never know what you're going to get out of them. They always get some good talent out of South Florida to go play there. So would it be the most shocking thing if they were to pull off a victory? Probably not, but probably not the best game for Boise to go travel to and play. You know, this is not a guaranteed victory by any means.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a tricky spot. You mentioned that Georgia Southern game, man, that was wild. That was the coming out party for Ashton Gentry just a year ago. I think it was like 56-45, if I remember correctly, somewhere in that neighborhood. UCF staying in the state of Florida. I was talking to Bruce Feldman on the podcast earlier this week, and he wrote up an under for UCF. I think you guys are sitting at 5.5 on UCF. You bring in Scott Frost as he takes over for Gus Malzahn, who left to be the OC at Florida State. So we all know that it didn't work out well in Nebraska, but his time at UCF Take it over for George O'Leary was fantastic. And, you know, in some people's eyes, they won a national championship down there. But they played Jacksonville State to open up Scott Frost era part two. What have you done with UCF and their power rating this year?
Yeah, I think he was spot on. Bruce was with the assessment of UCF. This is probably their worst team in quite a few years. They've lost a bunch. You know, I think Gus was a good fit there with running his offense. With him now gone, of course, they're bringing him, you know, Scott Frost again, who led him to the mythical, what was it, the UCI national title back in 2017 or whatever it was. I think they hung a banner. But those days are long past. I wouldn't be surprised if he got him back up to one of the better teams in the Big 12 in a couple of years. But this year, they're probably going to be fighting West Virginia for the basement of that conference after a solid first couple of years in the Big 12. And then Jacksonville State, woof, you know, they lose Rich Rod to, he's going back to West Virginia after many years. He's bringing a lot of players with him. They were arguably the best team in Conference USA last year. So they're kind of pressing the reset button too. So this is a tough one to bet. Again, this, we kind of just went with our straight power line number, which was the 16.5 that UCF is laying.
You know, this one's kind of fun. So I did Miami of Ohio's bowl game in Arizona. They won the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, and their coach got to ride out in a lowrider there. So a nice way to wrap up their season there with that win. And Chuck Martin, an interesting dude. I enjoyed talking to him. They go to Wisconsin, and if I remember correctly, Wisconsin really struggled, I want to say, against one of the directional Michigan schools in week one last year. And, you know, the interesting thing for me, you know, I mentioned best G5 quarterback, and I'm curious what your number is on him. Miami's got Daquan Finn coming in. So Finn, if you remember, was great at Toledo. He left. He went to Baylor. Things didn't work out all that well. And, you know, after you lose, you know, Bortles for however long it was, or not Bortles, it was Gabbert, excuse me. Yeah, Gabbert leaves Miami. You get a pretty good quarterback here. So a juicy number for a pretty monster season here for Wisconsin. So 17.5 is the number you guys have for this Thursday night game.
Yeah, Daquan Finn, like you mentioned, things, he went down to Baylor, didn't really work out. He was a good player at Toledo, now going back to the MAC. Here with Miami, Ohio, Wisconsin, you know, a ton of questions there. You know, I Luke Fickell is just not working out there. I don't know if he's a good fit. He hasn't hired good coordinators his first couple of years, so maybe he'll turn around this year. But you just don't see this normal Wisconsin Badger football we're used to from the last 20, 30 years, going back to probably Barry Alvarez. I'm just running the ball with a great offensive line. They don't have that anymore. So they've had some really disappointing couple seasons under Fickell. He's going to be under pressure to turn it around. He could be in the hot seat maybe in the middle of the season, especially if you were to somehow drop a game to a MAC team here in Miami, Ohio. They have struggled at home quite a bit against all opponents the last couple of years as well, and against some lesser opponents too. So this is one, you know, Wisconsin laying 17.5. If they're focused and can get things together, they should cover that easily. But maybe Daquan Finn can chuck it around and keep this thing close.
You know, last year it was 28-14 against Western Michigan, and I think they were struggling early
on. That was close late.
Yeah, that was closer than the score indicated there. The Thursday game that you have had up for a while, Nebraska-Cincinnati, kind of the random in Kansas City game, so a neutral site here. One thing I do like about this year's week one, Matt, is there's a lot of big-time teams going on the road, right? We'll get to Ohio State and Texas week one. Alabama's going to Florida State. Notre Dame's going to Miami. So there's some fascinating matchups in week number one. Auburn-Baylor, which we'll hit on here in just a minute. But Nebraska-Cincinnati, you know, Matt Rhule came out the other day and, hey, shoot your shot, man, if you need to get Nebraska into the playoff and want a 40-team playoff. But they're coming off a bowl season, and another team that Bruce Feldman talked about likes their win total over. And year three under Matt Rhule has been very, very successful in his previous stops at Temple and Baylor. So they're a big favorite here, 6.5-point favorite against the Bearcats. Have you guys seen much of action in this one?
Yeah, first, just an aside here, Tim. I mean, you mentioned it, I think, the other day on the call that, you know, we're going to 14 teams here, probably 16. Matt Rhule wants a 40-team playoff. Why don't we just start the CFP in week one and make the entire season the playoff? I don't like where this is going. We had the best regular season in sports where all the games matter. They were like playoff games, and now it's kind of just that feeling's getting a little bit watered down. So I digress. I just had to rant on that a bit like you did the other day.
Yeah.
But here we end up with Nebraska, Cincinnati, and, you know, Matt Rhule here in year three. You know, there's some expectations for Nebraska. Dylan Raiola had a pretty, I'd say, successful first year at quarterback at the helm for Nebraska. But here's the thing, you know, Nebraska, what's the last year they went over their regular season win total over, like, it's got to be 10, 15 years, right? It's like this every year with this team with its expectations. So until they actually prove it, I think it's going to be tough. So they showed flashes last year. They kept the Ohio State game very close. That was competitive on the road. And they're playing this weird game in Kansas City against the Bearcats, laying 6.5. We actually power rated this more around 4.5, 5, but just knowing there's always going to be Nebraska money and maybe we're a little bit behind them where we rated them. As I kind of alluded to, we have the 6.5 and the money's been in Nebraska so far. Wouldn't be surprised to see this thing hit 7 by the time it kicks off.
All right, let's get to Friday and a couple, you know, interesting ones here. We'll go right to Colorado because they're always going to be a team that people are interested in. Obviously, Shador and Travis Hunter have walked out the door. They bring in Caden Salter, the transfer from Liberty. I don't think that's going to end up all that well. And you've got Georgia Tech as a road favorite here. And once again, this is another one of those games where I was hoping Georgia Tech might be, you know, maybe a cheap dog or a shorter favorite. But you guys are no dummies, and you got it at 3.5. I'm a big Haynes King guy, especially in the underdog role, as we saw when they played Miami and Georgia last year. So we got a primetime game in Boulder. Coach Prime on the sideline year three, but without his son as the quarterback. How challenging was it to make a number on Colorado this year? And what have you seen for this showdown on a Friday night of week one?
Yeah, I think the secret's not on Georgia Tech, Tim. This is a good team. We like them. I think a lot of smart people who follow the sport have figured this out too. You know, obviously took Georgia to the absolute wire last year. Took down, Clemson or Miami they beat late in the season?
Miami.
Yeah, beat Miami. So they can play with just about anybody. And you mentioned Haynes King, big fan of his. You actually left out the upset 2 years ago at Miami. That was probably more Mario Cristobal's fault, but I thought I'd mention that one as well.
Brutal.
And Georgia Tech, we opened it, I believe, 1.5, and it was all Georgia Tech money. So we're now sitting all the way at 3.5. And, you know, Colorado, we're in the post-Shador and Travis Hunter era. So it's going to be interesting what Dion does with this team and, you know, what's his level of interest as well. And actually, you mentioned, you know, Caden Salter, not thinking it's going to work out. He had a poor last year at Liberty. You know, the rumor was he was a little PO'd that he didn't get to go to transfer to Auburn. He didn't have the necessary credits. So he had to stay at Liberty after a great year 2 years ago. And word is that there's an open competition between Salter and the freshman Julian Lewis in Colorado. So that could be interesting.
That's a big time recruit right there, Julian Lewis.
Yeah. So lots of questions and marks about Colorado once again. No surprise there. That's how it's been the last couple of years. This has kind of been transfer you. And again, well, it's going to be very interesting to see what Dion does with this team after a very successful 9-3 campaign last year. But right now, we really haven't been able to stop the Georgia Tech money. I'm expecting to be some more Colorado public money when we get closer to the game.
One of the games all of week one that intrigues me is the Friday game at Baylor. And, you know, I put together these top 12 quarterbacks, and I initially had left off Sawyer Robertson. I went back and I put Sawyer Robertson inside the top 12. And then you look at Auburn's room, and we mentioned the disaster that is Stanford. And Ashton Daniels was the starter at Stanford, kind of did everything, was a more of a runner than a passer. He's there. Jackson Arnold's there. And five-star recruit Deuce Knight is at Auburn. So there's a lot of pressure this year on Hugh Freeze at Auburn. They go to Waco. They're a short road favorite in this spot. What have you seen for this one, and what did you make of these two power ratings, Auburn and Baylor?
Yeah, this is one I think we disagree with the market a little bit. We're not as high on Auburn. I think it's just more guesswork and speculation they're going to be this good. Of course, they're going to have the good situation, I think, at quarterback with Jackson Arnold. I do like him. I think this is a better spot for him. I don't like Hugh Freeze too much as a coach. I don't think he gets the best out of his teams. So we actually power rated this game more like a pick'em. I think I have like Baylor minus one. So if I see a three, definitely a 3.5 out there, I'll be taking Baylor in this game personally. But you know, the public has spoken a bit. We've actually, I think, just moved this the other day from 1.5 to 2.5 just because it's been all Auburn money. But Baylor finished the season hot, winning 6 games, but they bring up back a lot. They should have won another game if they didn't blow the Colorado game. So quietly, Dave Aranda's turned things around there, and I really think this is more of a toss-up game.
There's 3 other games on that Friday before we get to the big day on Saturday. You got App State, Charlotte. You've got Kennesaw State, Wake Forest. The Jake Dickert era begins down there in Winston-Salem. And then UNLV, Sam Houston. And Sam Houston will have the leg up of playing a game in week 0. And UNLV welcomes in the Dan Mullen era, right? In our backyard, both you and I live in Las Vegas. So anything notable on those 3 games on that Friday?
Yeah, not too much to say here, Tim. These just kind of our straight power rating numbers. Mm-hmm. The Charlotte App State game, that one's being played at the Panther Stadium, so this is something to keep in mind there. Then UNLV is one of the bigger question marks in this offseason with Dan Mullen coming in and you know, having to replace a lot of talent and coming off their best season, of course, in history, really the last 2 years. And they're bringing in Anthony Calandria from Virginia and also Alex Orji from Michigan. So this is going to be very interesting with these 2 guys here. You know, Cameron Friel is the holdover. He's in the QB3 position right now. But if I do like Mullen a bunch as a coach, I think he's a home run for what UNLV is as a program and their football program. So we've got them laying 13.5 at Sam Houston, who, again, I mentioned earlier, is very depleted from the last couple of years. And if he gets things together, this could maybe close over 2 touchdowns, laying 13.5 right now at the current moment.
Week 1, Saturday, it really doesn't get much better than a season opener between Texas and Ohio State. Ohio State wins the national championship a year ago. Texas goes to the playoff. They have an absolute war against Ohio State, right? So Texas's last game was a loss to Ohio State, and now they play each other in the Shoe. Some changes. Ohio State, new offensive and defensive coordinator, new quarterback. Texas handing things over to Arch Manning. This game's going to be amazing. Probably going to be big noon kickoff. I don't think that's officially been announced yet. I know it's going to be on Fox, but we don't know what time. But how did this game, you know, right now you guys sit 350.5. How did you guys get to this number? And are these right now, Matt, your 2 highest power rated teams entering the year?
Yeah, great game to kick off the season. Kind of wish it was week 2 or 3, just so these teams had a week under their belt with some new QBs coming in, with Julian Sain for Ohio State, most likely, and Arch Manning, who does have experience, but this will be the biggest game he's played by far against the best opponent by far he's played. So we'll see if it'll translate over to a big-time opponent. You know, all the tools are there. We talked the other day on the show about the improvements he's made in the offseason with just kind of the QB camp he's gone to. He's got those wheels under him. He's got the natural talent. So he's obviously going to end up in the NFL here. But yeah, sitting 3 right now. The money has been on Texas. We were 3.5 to start back in January. I've since moved it down to 3. All the money in the money line so far in Texas. And again, like this will be a good feather in the cap for both teams, but it's not going to be a death knell for whoever loses it with how the playoff is structured now. And you're right. These are, I think, 2 of our top 3 teams in terms of power rating to start the year, up there with Georgia, Alabama, and Penn State. They're in the discussion as well. So just a great game to kick off the season, obviously. Can't wait for this one.
Well, the atmosphere is going to be great in Columbus. It'll probably be topped because it'll be a night atmosphere in South Carolina. Clemson hosting LSU in the battle, Matt, of the true Death Valley, right? Both these teams play in their own respective Death Valley. And this is, I've been joking here on the podcast because it's just been nothing but positivity surrounding this Clemson team. I think Cade Klubnik is tremendous. And you could argue the 2 best quarterbacks returning this year in Garrett Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik going head-to-head in this primetime matchup of week 1. You've got Clemson 3, 56.5 the total. What have you guys seen on this one?
So this one to me is absolutely fascinating because this is a great example of where I think a game spread is not translated over to what the market thinks of a team out in the marketplace. There's been so much Clemson love in the national title odds, us shortening that in the ACC odds. There's some books now that I think are even on Clemson doing the ACC. And it's, why aren't they betting them against LSU? Again, laying the 2.5. So again, we made a number that's quite a bit higher than what's out in the market. We're sitting Clemson -3. I think our straight power line number is more like 5. So this one's just not matching up to me. If people really love Clemson this much, this number should be over 3. So we're sitting 3. I think that I'm going to personally be looking to lay under 3 if it's still there in a bit. I don't quite like making bets this, 3-4 months out. But this is one, it's just really fascinating. And here's the thing. I am not a Cade Klubnik fan. I think he's a little bit too sporadic. I think he should be a lot better than he is now after all his years starting. So I don't think Clemson is quite the slam dunk everyone thinks they are to win the conference and be a national title contender.
Well, it's interesting you mention it because there is a rival shop of yours that is at 2.5 right now. So, it'll be interesting how this plays out. While I have you on Clemson, as this has been the pro Clemson podcast, I did take a Clemson whack at them to win the conference. I believe the number I got was +160. What have you seen on Clemson's odds? Because we had Ari Wasserman from On3 on 2 weeks ago, and he said 20-1 was a hammer for him. He loved it. He bet that at 20-1. So I've noticed you guys have moved a little bit. Has there been a lot of Clemson support in your futures market?
Yeah, that's really the reason why we've been having to move it. I think we're sitting at +130 now for them. The ACC was probably best odds out there in the market.
Yep.
I think we started off at maybe 180 or 2-1. So yeah, it's been all Clemson money in the ACC. Like I just mentioned, I don't think that's a certainty by any means. But with their short conference odds, they're going to be one of the top favorites to make the playoff. No doubt about that. When we get that released here, in a couple weeks time. Clemson's going to be a very interesting watch this year. And they're starting off with, like you mentioned, just a really tough one against LSU.
Tallahassee, Florida, usually a daunting environment. I don't know what it's going to be after last year's disastrous season. It's going to be hot. We'll know that. 3:30 in the afternoon, and Alabama goes there. So once again, you get these kind of unique matchups week one, which I love. And normally, Matt, you see them on neutral sites, but we're seeing them in true road environments. And Alabama, you bring back Ryan Grubb to pair up with Kalen DeBoer. Ty Simpson seems to be the favorite, but wouldn't be surprised if, someone else emerged there for Alabama. And then, what do you think about Thomas Castellanos, right? New offensive, new defensive coordinator for Florida State. It's a big number, Florida State 12.5. How did you come to this number, and what have you seen so far on Alabama FSU?
Yeah, this one's had a lot of movement since the opener back in January of Alabama laying 9.5. We're up to 12.5 now. It's been all Alabama money. Not much support at all for Florida State coming off that year they just had. So Mike Norvell, 2 years removed from an undefeated season and a CFP snub, is going to be on the hot seat. If he's, doesn't, I guess, at least make a bowl, maybe have to win 8 games, he might be in trouble there. So Florida State's got a lot of question marks. You mentioned bringing in Castellanos. I think it's a pretty safe move on their part. So we'll see if they can build around him. And yeah, Alabama, looking at them, love Kalen DeBoer. That was a slam dunk hire for sure. And like all their pieces, of course, Ryan Williams is going to be out there in the flat, just terrifying other teams, terrorizing other teams the entire year. But, are you getting excited about Ty Simpson as the projected starting quarterback? I'm not. Austin Mack is maybe going to push him for that starting role. But I think they got a lot of questions at QB. Usually it works out for them, even with not the best QB out there. So it's going to be quite a different offense than what Jalen Milroe ran. So until I kind of get the eye test from Bama these first couple games, that might end up being kind of a big number for one of these QBs to lay on the road, especially if Florida State can bounce back at all, because this might close 2 touchdowns plus. But Bama, I think they're going to get a lot better as the season goes on, and they're going to be a contender in the SEC and the national title picture.
All right, this game is interesting. I know you've moved a little bit. It's interesting in a lot of fronts. So Utah, I think, Matt, got one of the more underrated quarterback transfers in the country. I think Devin Dampier, and maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I'm saying I'll believe it when I see it with John Mateer as he goes to Oklahoma, and I'm just bought in hook, line, and sinker on Devin Dampier, and they both played, essentially in the Mountain West a year ago. But I love the acquisition there for Utah to bring in Dampier. And then UCLA, they get Nico, right? The bizarre situation that unfolded there. Right now you guys have Utah laying 3.5 at the Rose Bowl on that Saturday of Labor Day weekend. I feel like you've probably seen some Utah love in the market so far.
Yeah, some recent love on them, especially last week. We went from 3 to 3.5 after getting some bets on them. And You know, Utah's going to be pretty fascinating this year. The one thing you got going for you, Tim, is the QB play cannot get any worse than it was last year. just a big down year for Kyle Whittingham in Utah. You know, we're not so sure they're going to bounce all the way back here. If that is the case, there's definitely value out there in a game like this. Maybe in games of the year when we put those up pretty soon, or to win the conference. You know, if we're maybe even a field goal off on this team, they're probably the favorite there, just like they've been the last couple of years. So you're right, Devin Dampier is pretty intriguing. I think he's going to have improved play there. But again, I think he's got to prove it against some better competition. So yeah, UCLA with Nico coming in, that is definitely a QB upgrade, just with a bizarre situation there. But you know, not a huge fan of their coach, and they've just been kind of a disappointment the last quite a few years. They had a stretch last year where they were playing a little bit better. I think they won, was that Nebraska in an upset? So the talent's still there. They're always going to be kind of saddled now with this bad travel in the Big Ten. But a good opening game in a former Pac-12 game with now the Big Ten and a Big 12 matchup we have between these two.
All right. We got games on Sunday. We got a game on Monday that I want to get to. But when you look at the rest of that Saturday slate, and as mentioned, you've got every FBS versus FBS matchup, no FBF SCS yet. What have you seen either movement-wise, or there was a battle from your power rating or maybe the rest of your team? Any other games worth of note in that Saturday slate on Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, a team that's going to be pretty intriguing is Southern Miss. You know, they stole away Charlie Huff, I think, less than 8 hours after the bowl game win. He brought a lot of the players down there from Marshall, who's always been a good program. So we've been having to cut their odds in the Sun Belt quite a bit. I think we opened up 40, and I believe now we're down to 18 after quite a bit of action on that. So still, I think it's going to be tough for them to actually win the conference, but they're hosting in-state rival, maybe not rival, in-state opponent, Mississippi State, SEC school, going down to Southern Miss, laying 15.5. So Mississippi State, after a really bad down year, I think they're going to, they've always recruited well, so they're going to have the talent advantage by quite a bit. We've got only over 2 touchdowns, but this is another one I could maybe see some Southern Miss money driving this down to 14 or so. We'll see here when some other books open and we start taking some more bets. So that's an interesting one on that first Saturday. A couple others, Toledo going into Kentucky trying to rebound from a down year. We're pretty, I won't say high in them, but think they're going to bounce back. I like Mark Stoops. I think he's going to get it together. We're the highest out there in the RSW market with a Kentucky 5.5 juice under on that one. Another one, Indiana, can they replicate what they did last year? And you kind of just think like, oh, this is a flash of the pan, but in Cignetti we trust, as guys, a lot of guys would say out there on the weekly CBS show. Great watch if you haven't seen it. They were voicing it all year long last year. But after looking at them, really liked what we had to see with Mendoza coming into Indiana, like him. Old Dominion's a team that gets market respect. That's sitting 23.5. So Cignetti, though, he did not miss an opportunity last year to bury teams. So this, to me, is kind of an interesting one that first Saturday as well, but of some of these new lines we put out.
Yeah, no doubt. One game that I'm curious about, Cal and how they respond. You mentioned Mendoza. He leaves Cal to go to Indiana. They lose Jaden Ott late in the cycle there. Their running back goes to Oklahoma, and they play Oregon State, who brings in Malik Murphy after he was basically told to leave Duke, and Duke went out and got Darian Mensah from Tulane. All right, Sunday is pretty fascinating. I will be in attendance down at Hard Rock Stadium, Miami, Notre Dame, and I opened the podcast earlier this week, and I hit on a couple points before we started here about Carson Beck. And Mario Cristobal earlier this week told CBS, Matt, that he's going to be full go. Starting next week, he's going to be ready to go, coming off that Tommy John surgery. Notre Dame's got questions at the quarterback position. Awesome running back room, really good offensive line. But, the old saying is, when it's 2.5, it's usually the dog. And when it's 3.5, it's usually the favorite. So this makes me a little bit uneasy. Notre Dame, Miami, just 2.5 might scratch some chins there for some folks out there.
Yeah, great matchup here between Notre Dame going down to Miami. They were just down there a couple years back
This was bad.
Don't remind you, right?
2017, and, 41-8. It was bad.
Yeah. So this is a really intriguing game. Of course, like you mentioned, Carson Beck going down there, expecting to be fully healthy here. And we talked about with, you know, slashing the price on Clemson in the ACC, we've been having to raise up Miami in response. Right? I think the value actually lies there now. I think some spots up to 4-1 or more on the Hurricanes. You know, if they're right, this is a team that if they don't blow a huge lead to Syracuse, is in the playoff for sure. Then who knows what happens. So Cam Ward, that will be tough to replace. I think Carson Beck can probably replace that, you know, up to an 80-90% standard, which is still going to make them a really good team. Notre Dame, of course, coming off the national title game loss. They're going to be really strong again. Love Freeman there. They're covering games like crazy. They just mean, I think that we're making numbers that aren't quite up with where they're at. So, personally, I have my team. I was probably the lowest on Notre Dame, so I made this game more of a pick 'em. Mm-hmm. But all the money thus far has been on Notre Dame. So wouldn't be too surprised to see this thing hit 3, 3.5 if you're looking to take your Irish Tim. I may be looking to do it sooner rather than later, but just another great heavyweight matchup in that first week.
Yeah, I'm going to be very uncomfortable throughout that entire game. I know it for sure. Earlier, and props to the schedule makers, we actually do get a good game on Sunday outside of the primetime game, which is Virginia Tech and South Carolina. This will be a neutral site game in Atlanta. And there's a lot of hype on this South Carolina team, Matt, this year. Lenora Sellers getting some buzz as maybe the best quarterback in the country coming back. And I'm curious about your thoughts on Virginia Tech, because last year was wildly underwhelming. If you look at Bill Conley's offensive, just returning production a year ago, I think Virginia Tech was top five in the country. They go 6-6. And Kyren Drones, a guy that was pretty unimpressive, I think dealt with some injuries late in the season. Right now, you guys got South Carolina 9.5 on a neutral here against Virginia Tech. Is this maybe a buy low spot on the Hokies, or are you in on South Carolina this year?
Yeah, it could be. Very interesting game. Like you mentioned, Vautech was a huge disappointment last year. Went on the road to Vandy, lost that game outright as a 13-point favorites, and now just don't really love the look of their team. Brent Pry, I think he's going to be under pressure this year. Otherwise, you know, they might be looking elsewhere. You know, maybe they'll be looking across the sidelines for the next coach. Who knows there? So South Carolina, though, we are definitely not going to be as high on this team as the market. They're coming off a hot season, but they lose a ton of talent. I think they lost 5 guys to the draft from their defense. Just a great shutdown, suffocating defense from last year. That's going to be tough to replace for them. They still are the deserved favorite. We got them sitting at 9.5. We opened this 10.5. We took some money on Vautech. This is a neutral site game, but I think we're going to learn a lot about these two teams in this first game.
Monday night, the debut of Bill Belichick and TCU and North Carolina. They host TCU. So many eyeballs are going to be on this game. I can only imagine for you guys from a handle standpoint, it's going to be great with Bill Belichick there on the sidelines against TCU. What have we seen on this? Because before we get out of here, I do got to get what we've seen on North Carolina in the futures market, win total, all of that. But as for this game, right now you guys have it UNC -1.5. UNC going with Gio Lopez, the South Alabama transfer, as their starter. So a lot of uncertainty with this UNC team. And who knows how Bill Belichick's going to be as a college coach, right?
Yeah, it might be Jordan Hudson's debut. It should probably be the sideline, right? So, you know what? I tell you, don't try to stress too much trying to figure this game out. I think it's a true toss-up. Maybe just have some fun, bet the over. We're sitting 59.5 right now. Just hope for some points. You know, I think there should be some pretty good quarterback player with Josh Hoover and Gio Lopez, like you mentioned. So this should be a really fun one. All eyes on Belichick here. Hopefully he makes it to this game. I think he will. But you mentioned UNC in the regular season win total market. The public has definitely been souring on them. So we've been taking some under money this last week or so. We moved this thing about 15, 20 cents. I think we're sitting 7.5, juiced under -130 right now. So, you know, a ton of question marks in North Carolina. I think everyone assumed that Belichick was going to bring in all these big name guys. And aside from Gio Lopez, what has he brought in? It really hasn't been much. So, TCU, I think, is the more kind of solid for sure thing right here. but you can't rule out Bill Belichick and his magic. You know, Tom Brady's not obviously going to be under center, but this will be a fascinating game. But maybe just have fun with it. Bet the over and just hope for some points.
All right, Matt, before we let you run, this has been awesome. We've gone through as many games as possible, as you guys have every week zero and week one game up. Now you have all 136 FBS teams with a win total. Things I've noted just for a little fun. Kent State, ladies and gentlemen, has the lowest win total, 1.5. There are four teams that I believe you guys have sitting at 10.5, varying juice. Notre Dame is at 10.5. Ohio State is at 10.5. Penn State's at 10.5. Oregon is at 10.5. What have you seen so far from a win total market or futures market that might be notable for the listeners?
Tim, you wouldn't believe the amount of time we spent talking about Kent State and their win total. And it's just, you got to be a sicko to talk about this at length like we did. But it's still a lot of fun. And you're right. They're the lowest win total out there, coming off a historically bad season, maybe one of the worst teams ever in FPS. They were getting blown out by 30, 40 points in the MAC, which is just terrible. So they're sitting at 1.5, juiced over minus 170. They got to beat Merrimack. That should be their one win.
They lost to St. Francis last year. Just point that out. The red flash has got them.
Merrimack's going in there, and they might be favored. Who knows? So we've got it lined pretty close. So if they don't get that one, I think they're kind of doomed to get this over, because they're going to have other chances in the MAC against, you know, the Akrons and Eastern Michigans of the world, but they're going to be dogs against all those teams unless they show some vast improvement. And that's with us giving them like a 7-10 point bump from where they were last year, this bigger, and this can't get any worse. So pretty intriguing. But yeah, let's go back to the top of the spectrum. The more people want to hear about the Penn State's, Oregon's of the world. Oregon is, I don't think, in as good a position as they have in the last couple of years here. You know, they brought in guys like Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel just to fill right in at QB. And now it might be Dante Moore, who's a big question mark. He's a talented guy who we just really haven't seen any sort of consistency yet. So they're bringing in one of the best wide receiver recruits in the country. Is it DeQuarrion Moore? It's another Moore, Tim, and he's going to be lighting things on fire for them. Oregon always brings in talent. But this is a team I could see just not kind of being up to snuff with where they've been lately. But the talent is still there. You know, they got tough road games, notably at Penn State this year. Indiana's going there for an interesting kind of new Big Ten matchup. So really can't wait to see what Oregon has in store this year, too.
Yeah, DeQuarrion Moore is the big-time recruit that they brought in, a five-star best wide receiver in the country. So, yeah, sometimes the rich get richer, right? So you have Dante Moore, D Moore to D Moore might be a big possibility there. All right, the last thing I just want to hit on with you, because we've been going for a while here, is the Heisman market. And right now you guys have Arch Manning as your favorite at 7-1, Garrett Nussmeier 9-1. I think this is fascinating this year. We saw unprecedented player win at a year ago in Travis Hunter. You guys have Jeremiah Smith down to 12-1. But then you look at a guy like, you know, CJ Carr for Notre Dame is 40-1. Ty Simpson, Alabama, 40-1. John Mateer, Oklahoma, 35-1. DJ Lagway, 25-1. There's some big numbers out there for some notable guys, but albeit unproven. What have you guys seen from the Heisman market, and how tricky has it been for you to set proper numbers on the Heisman market this offseason?
So I'm glad you mentioned DJ Lagway at Florida. I wanted to touch on him in Florida as a whole. He's an explosive, exciting player. He hurt his shoulder late last year, had surgery after the season. Well, he didn't participate too much in the spring, so what's his full bill of health going to be going into the season? Because they have another murderous schedule. If you guys notice, I think we're the lowest in the RSW market with Florida sitting 6.5 juiced over. There's some 7.5s out there. So, again, between his kind of lingering injury and the schedule, I think it might be tough to replicate what they did last year. Even if they are a better team, to go 7-5 again is going to be, I think, a huge challenge. But if he's healthy and is explosive, he's going to be right in the mix there, I think, and if Florida gets some knockoffs, some bigger team, and get some upsets. So they're going to be just fascinating this year. And you mentioned, you know, top of the Heisman odds, we've got Arch Manning, I think no surprise, sitting there at 7-1. We talked about it the other day, Tim, where if they go into Ohio State and win that game and he throws for 350, he might get knocked down to like 3-1, 2 plus 250, like immediately in the Heisman market. So I really can't blame anyone for taking him right off the bat here in the summer. Could be a good bet. Maybe I'm saying too much to our listeners, but I think he might be a good bet. And you mentioned Garrett Nussmeier there at 9-1 for LSU. A big NFL prospect here. You know, LSU just plays such a tough schedule. You know, can a guy on an 8-4 team win the Heisman? That's a lot tougher to do. Happened last year with Travis Hunter in Colorado. Of course, he's a, you know, once in a generation, you know, talent. But usually you have to be like 9-3, 10-2 at least to win the Heisman. So maybe something else to look at when you're looking through the guys and what type of team are they on? How many wins is their team going to end up with when making these bets?
It's going to be a fascinating year. I think very underrated quarterback class coming in with a lot of returning production in the on the P4 level, but a lot of uncertainty at some of these highly power rated teams. This was awesome, Matt. Really appreciate it. I know our listeners loved it. Love to hear how the sausage is made. And it's going to be a fun offseason, man. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yep. Thanks, Tim. Excited about the offseason, the upcoming season. And to everyone out there, just keep a lookout on our site for new content about every week for offseason college football markets.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Thanks again to Matt Grill, trading manager for DraftKings Sportsbook. And he let me know, keep your eye out, and he mentioned this there at the end of the interview, keep your eye out for new markets coming to DraftKings shortly. I think there is soon to be to make the college football playoff undefeated teams. So keep your eyes out. We'll have some new markets up there at DraftKings in just a little bit. As we get out of here, we'll have more podcasts next week. And thanks to a number of you guys, as I've been soliciting suggestions for guests, and I've written those down. I'm going to start reaching out to those guests. Hope to have at least one on next week. And a couple of you, and this is a big tip of the cap, put a 5-star review in with the suggestion of who you'd like to hear from this offseason. And a couple of the names I've had to research and looking forward to chatting with them. So I've got some numbers down. Much appreciated. You could either tweet me at @1TimMurray or you could do what a handful of you have done already, which is give us a 5-star review. And in that 5-star review, tell us who you'd like to hear from. And I will do my best to get those guests on the podcast. Also hoping to catch up with Matt Eumanns at some point here in the next couple of weeks on the podcast. Of course, Matt and I give you the Thursday podcast all throughout the football season, but looking forward to catching up with Matt at some point here, as he let me know he has already added an Arch Manning 8-1 ticket to win the Heisman Trophy to his portfolio here this offseason. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks again to Matt Grill. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Trading manager at DraftKings Sportsbook, giving us some insight from behind the counter, how the numbers were made, and some really good stuff there on what they've seen so far there at DraftKings Sportsbook. Thanks to Ryan Hunter, as always, my producer, putting together this podcast and getting out to you as quickly as possible. We'll be back next week, of course, with another edition or editions, maybe multiple podcasts of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. But until then, please rate, review, and subscribe. Tell a friend, tell your neighbor, tell people at graduations about the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Talk to you next week, folks.